Glory to God. Tonight, I have a maintenance message. You know, maintenance is important. I've got a car that's 20 years old, has 102,000 miles, which isn't too bad. I never want to get rid of it. I love the car. But the dealership said that I need to put a new timing belt in it. Now it's running fine, but they said it could break and ruin the engine completely. But it'd be $1,000 to put that in the car. So do I do the maintenance, or do I just put it off until, well, maybe one day the whole car is shot? The church is like that. We have maintenance. We don't have just a one-time buying experience where you get the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, but during the time between the beginning of your walk with God till our feet leave the ground, there's a maintenance that has to take place. I got a call from somebody yesterday. I really don't even know what their name is, but they were irritated because somebody in this church started witnessing to them. And it got them upset because it questioned their salvation, their do-nothing salvation. So I spent about 45 minutes with them on the phone sharing scripture, but I realized they didn't want more truth. They just wanted to justify where they're at. You know, I'll spend hours with people who really have an appetite for more of God. But those who just want to declare, I'm saved without anything else. But I was so impressed because the preaching is working because people are talking to other people, you see. That's what's so important. Amen. And so this is going to be a maintenance message. It's pressing into the kingdom of God. Well, Pastor, I'm already there. No. You can be in and out of the kingdom of God. As a pastor, I can go in and out of the kingdom of God. And it's all up to me, you see. I'm not so concerned about evil influences on my life, but I'm concerned about me, because as easy as I walked into the church, I can walk out of the church and not even realize that I'm backslidden. So if you would, stand with me and turn to Jude. Let's go to the first chapter. Amen. Jude 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." So we're talking about saints who are already saved, and it's saying you got to earnestly contend for it. There's going to be some fighting involved. And sometimes a good fight helps your spirituality, folks. It really does. Sometimes you need to contend with somebody to stand for something. Glory to God. And then if you turn to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke 16 and verse number 16. Jesus said, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth," or continues to press, "into it." You see, in the Old Testament, it wasn't so much of a struggle for individuals, but from the time of John the Baptist, put on the gloves, because we're going to have a fight. And then Matthew, the 11th chapter, if you're not willing to fight, you probably won't make it, folks. Matthew 11 and verse number 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist," okay, here's the starting point of the match, "until now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, I just, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to get involved in any kind of contention or fighting. Well, hallelujah. Did Jesus have to fight? Did the apostles have to fight? Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. Let there be an anointing in this place, but revive us, God. Let us understand how important this walk with you is. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What Jesus is saying in these verses is that if we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, which is the realm, the spiritual realm of God, if we're going to stay in the presence of God, we're going to have to press into the presence. It's not a matter of showing up, but it's pressing into the presence. Now, if you come here and you're expecting just to be overwhelmed by the presence of God without trying to press into the presence of God, well, nothing is going to happen. The word presseth means to continually force our way into the realm of God. That starting with John the Baptist, there would be great opposition to entering in and staying in the church. There's a fight to stay in the church, that we will need to be more than just determined. We'll have to be somewhat forceful. You're not going to get me out of the church. Little skirmishes aren't going to get me out of the church. Those who come with opposing doctrines, not going to get me out of the church. I'm standing for, if you're not standing for something, you're falling for everything. Our walk with God will be challenged on a regular basis. I don't care who you are. I don't care how faithful you've been. You're going to be challenged on a regular basis, and if we aren't willing to fight for the truth that we have, well, we will never be or receive all of the benefits that God has for us. Everyone here has had their share of challenges to stay in the church. From the day we were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, the enemy has wanted to pull us out of the church. He's the accuser of the brethren. It starts as we made our first commitment to God, and our relatives and friends threatened separation if we continued to come in this way. And I think that's almost a benefit, because at that point we have to decide, is this thing important or isn't it important? You see? And that happened with my wife and I. We recognized there's something more than this. This is not just a religion. This is a lifestyle. And why are you so opposed of me living for God this way? And then we get to the place where people on the job and those that we considered our friends start to challenge us, and even challenges from within the church body. But we had to stand up for what we know is truth. Truth doesn't change, folks. there's a scripture in the Old Testament. If you'll turn to Judges, the 18th chapter. Judges 18 and verse number 7. Now we're at a place where the promised land is allotted to the 12 tribes. And in verse number 7 it says, "And the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were there, therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians. Quiet and secure, there was no magistrate or no judge in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man." So we're talking about the tribe of Dan. Here the children of Dan were assigned territory that included the Philistines' plain, but they knew if they took the land that God said was going to be allotted to them, they would have to fight for it. But instead of fighting for what God had given them, they migrated to Laish, a city far north of Jerusalem, at the edge of the land that they were assigned or promised. They stayed at the edge of God's promise. You know, you can come into the church and you can stay at the edge of God's promise. I felt a little bit of God tonight, you know? And I come whenever I can to church, but you're not willing to fight this flesh. You're not willing to fight people who are trying to occupy your time. And so you never really get what God wants for you at the edge of the land. So soon they discovered that the people where they were, Laish, were careless, quiet, and secure. There was no magistrate, no judge in the land that would put them to shame in anything, no rules, no laws to abide by. Sounds a lot like today. People don't want the law. Let's get rid of the police. Let's get rid of all these things that, somewhat, you know, disturb our life. And the people of Laish lived there after the manner of the Zidonians, who were Jezebel's father, was the king of Zidon, and they worshiped Baal. So does it really matter who we worship? The children of Dan decided to live at the edge of God's kingdom, where the people lived carelessly and without any kind of judgment, any kind of magistrate in their life. And we're living in a country, he says, that, you know, we don't want rules anymore. We want to have freedom. And I'm afraid for the people who want to live at the edge of the church, living at the outer perimeter on the borders of what they really could have in God's promise. I want to get everything that God has for me, folks. Amen. We're living way below our privilege. I believe that God wants to do more for us than we could possibly imagine, but we have to fight for it sometimes. Paul, shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, you know. But what God gave him took him up to a third heaven, saw things that he couldn't even talk about. I wonder how many people have fallen out of the church because they stayed too close to where they got in. You know, okay, I graduated, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, where am I supposed to sit? We have an awesome service. Every time we walk in here, there's a power of God, a presence of God, and yet no one can afford to live on the edge of God's promised land. My advice is to get right in the middle of everything that's going on in the church. I want to be a part of everything that goes on in the church. No, it's not for just a ministry. No, it's not just for those crazy people who have so much zeal. No, it's for everyone, because that's where the safety is, you see. That's where God wants. Don't make decisions about whether or not, should I come to church? Now, I'm probably preaching to the choir because you are the faithful people, but there are so many who make a decision. They think consciously, I can decide, should I or shouldn't I come to church? If the doors are open, we should come. And folks, I shouldn't have to wonder, where are you? Does your employer wonder? I wonder where they are. Do you get a paycheck when you don't show up? A Sunday school teacher asked this class, I want you to take a piece of paper, and on one side I want you to write all about the Holy Ghost, and on the other side I want you to write all about the devil. So when the time was up, the teacher collected the papers, and one little boy had a lot written about the Holy Ghost, but when the teacher flipped the paper over, there was nothing on the side of the devil. And she said, well, why isn't there anything on the side for the devil? And he said, I got so carried away with the Holy Ghost, I just didn't have enough time for the devil. If you get so carried away by the Holy Ghost, you're not going to have time for the devil. Amen. We're so busy for God, we don't have time to worry about all of the fussing and fighting. In fact, our flesh won't even get in the way when we're so excited about God. Loving God ought to preoccupy us if we will get right in the middle of the church. Turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, please. Ephesians 5 and 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're talking about outside this building. There's not a day that goes by, and I'm not the perfect individual, but there's not a day that goes by that I'm not singing some kind of song in my head or even out loud and talking to God. That's what it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If we're in the middle of the church, our thoughts are always preoccupied with the things of God. It's a natural thing, you know? Let's go back to when you fell in love with your spouse. Were you thinking about her or him all at a time? It's because it preoccupies you, that love for the individual, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That just doesn't happen when you're at the edge. Now, I'm just doing the least that I can do in order to make sure that I'm saved. I'm so grateful for the front row in our church, at least when we used to have front rows in our church. In some places, sitting in the front row was the price that you had to pay in order to come in late, and that is your punishment. And I think we ought to fight over the front seats, not, you know, punching each other out. And a lot of our people are sitting way back there and even in the balcony because of our situation right now. I said Sunday, you're going to get your seat back, you know, because there isn't any better place than to get up front with God. Unfortunately, by the time my message gets back to the people in the back of the church, it has to go through crying babies, carnal saints, heavy hairdos, and talking people. So when you're in the front, there isn't any disturbances. You can concentrate. Glory to God. The only way the church has revival is that everybody wants revival. Amen. I preach to people who are like this, you know, their body language, and it had an effect. It has an effect on me. It has an effect on other people. But when everybody comes, they want to get as much of God as they possibly could. Could I enter into the promised land? It's dangerous to be on the edge or the border of the church. It's the border cities of this country that see the most drugs, crime, and violence. New York, Los Angeles, the cities on the borders, on the edge of our country, they're the ones who have the most problem. Thank God for Wisconsin. It is the outer fringe of the pond that freezes first and is so shallow, and that's where more people fall in. It is the outer edge of the storm that does the most damage, but right in the middle, the center, there is a calm and there is a peace. If you get right in the middle of the church, hallelujah. It is the outer parts of the body that are subject to loss. When diabetes strikes, it's the toes, the feet, the fingers that are subject to the most devastation. Diabetes first hits the extremities, and the reason for that is that they're the furthest from the heart or the flow of blood. And it's the same in the spiritual world. The heart of the church has a hard time reaching those people who are just at the edge. I just decided I only want so much of God. We'll visit him every once in a while. And that's why we need to resolve in our hearts, when I come to church, when people are worshiping, I'm going to worship as much as I possibly can. When I come to church, I want to get as much. Pastor, preach to me. Tell me what God wants for my life. Not that, well, I'll take that under consideration. You see, I want to experience church every time we come to church. And I'm not preaching to a problem. This is a maintenance. Otherwise, it's going to cost you more, and you'll be at the side of the road. In 2 Samuel 11, the Bible speaks of the death of Abimelech. He was a mighty warrior, but he was killed by a woman. Mighty warrior, but killed by a woman who cast a millstone down from the wall and killed him. The question at his autopsy was this: why did he go so close to the wall? Why did he get so far from the rest of the army? Why do you leave that which is safety, where the woman could just drop a rock off the wall on your head and kill you? Listen, when you get far removed from the body, you are susceptible to disaster. In fact, sometimes God even brings disaster into our lives to get us back to where we're supposed to be. And when we get in the middle of the church, it's hard for the enemy to get to you because, well, you're surrounded by a lot of bodyguards. Because he has to get through the pastor and the assistant pastor and the assistant pastor's wife and the pastor's wife and the youth leader and the strong saints and the prayer. And oh, there is the word of God and the power of the Spirit and the blood of Jesus, you see. If you're in the middle of the church, it's not hard to stay saved at all. There is great resistance in the middle of the church. The Bible said Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and eventually he was in Sodom. Where are you looking? Pastor, I'm not going anywhere. Boy, I've heard that a lot. And then they're gone. I'm not going anywhere, you know. It's like when Paul was on the ship and there was a storm, people were letting down lifeboats to get out, and they said, well, I'm letting down anchors. And Paul said, under the Holy Ghost, except you stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. You see, it's not about what you declare. It's about where you're looking. It's where you are looking that determines where your destiny is. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, you see, if we're looking for the joy that is set, I'm going to church, I'm going to feel the power in the presence. Who knows what God could do for me tonight? When they took Jesus to the mock trial, it said in Luke 22 and 5, then took they him and led him and brought him unto the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. You hear about church growth from the pulpit all the time. We have charts and graphs and preaching, but church growth is not going to come through our doors. The growth is really in the pew if we would all move to the middle of the church, all get excited about God. It would be like a vacuum cleaner sucking sinners into the church, you know? Not better methods, but better people. That's all God's looking for. You know, I just don't believe they sent out cards at the time of the apostles. I don't think they had an internet or text, and they didn't videotape the messages. But the whole focus was on, let's be the best Christians we possibly can. And God saying, perfect. Now I can bring the sinners in, you see. The Bible said Peter followed afar off. How do you know when you're far off? This is how. The scriptures say he warmed himself by the enemy's fire. When saints get cold in their spirit, they find themselves getting comfortable in the world. It always happens. When you leave, you have to find somebody that you can fellowship with that says, you're all right. Just warm yourself here, you see. The danger flag goes up when people get more excited about worldly events than spiritual events. There are all kinds of clubs and hobbies and sports and interests out there that can just consume your life, you know. And a lot of them just are not bad at all. It's just what place, what rank are they in comparison to our God? Nothing is greater than warming yourself in the church. Get a little hot for Jesus. It's where we get our inspiration and motivation and satisfaction. Hallelujah. Psalms 84. I'm glad God put that in here. Psalms 84 and 10 says, for a day in thy court is better than a thousand. Well, a thousand where? Doesn't matter. A day in church is better than any place else. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I would rather be in God's house and have the highest position in the world, because it's not going to get me anywhere. It's not going to get me in eternity. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Oh, hallelujah. For no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, glory to God. Here's the promised land, but you got to take it. It's better to be an usher in church than to have the greatest position in the world. Zidon was the oldest of the Phoenician cities, and it was once a place of power, provision, and protection. It was well fortified because of its surrounding by the sea and by mountains. It is a type of the church, well protected not only by faithful saints, but by the Holy Ghost. But here is a group of people who dwelled in Laish, and the Bible said that Laish was too far from Zidon, too far from the protection. If they're attacked, there's nobody that's going to be around you. And they had moved from their protection and power because they didn't want a magistrate. They didn't want rules. It's not that important, God, to follow all the rules or fight for what God has given. Now, if I come home tonight and somebody's sitting at my table eating my food and wearing my clothes, they're going to have a problem. You know? Who's taking from you? Is there somebody who's got your ear to say, well, these things aren't important? They're taking your promises. We then become easy prey if there's no protection. I hear these sayings, let's defund the police department. We don't need police at all. Well, who are you going to call? I don't need the church so much in my life. Well, who are you going to call when you get in trouble? Who are you going to call when you have a bad diagnosis? Who are you going to call when your marriage is in trouble? Do we realize how important it is to stay in the middle of the church? The church is our hope, our help, our refuge, a place of blessing. No matter what the economy is, it's still better to be in the church. Hallelujah. You know, your job can be gone, but you still have confidence in what God is going to do in your life. The safest place for your family, for your marriage, for your children is in the church, as close to the center as you possibly can. Well, I don't want to go to church, Mommy. No, no. You see, you're coming to church because this is a safe place for you. When schools open, maybe somebody's going to be susceptible, but honey, you'll be okay because we're right in the middle of the church. God's plan is that we get so wrapped up, so tied up, so tangled up in the church that nothing could take us out. Well, I'm kind of pulling back from my ministry because I'm getting older. Look how old I am, folks. Really? Is now the time to lay back? Is now the time? Something's happening in this world, folks. Amen. Glory to God. If you get too far from the church, you'll become just like Laish. We become careless. Careless with spiritual things. We just know too much. We don't need any more preaching. I did all of that worshiping stuff when I was earlier in the church. You start looking at the things that you shouldn't be looking at. You start reading things that you shouldn't. You start talking to people that you shouldn't be taking advice from, and then doing things that you shouldn't. Careless in your walk with God. And then the Bible says they got quiet. I've seen it happen over and over again. People at the edge of the church usually get quiet. They don't want to talk to anybody anymore. They say they have gotten deeper in God. I'm a mature saint. All that display of emotion is just for new converts, and they don't clap their hands anymore. They just get quiet, just putting in their time. Do you know how God told Joshua how he could determine who stole the accursed things when they came into Jericho? He said, line everybody up, and Joshua walked by, and he told them to give God the glory. In other words, I want to hear you praise God. And when Achan's turn came, he was just quiet. He couldn't praise God anymore, because there was sin in his life. Now, if I go out and do a dastardly thing this week, and I don't repent of it, and I walk into church, it is going to be very, very difficult for me to worship God. It's not good when people who have been loud suddenly get quiet. Maybe we all could get just a little louder in church from now on, in order to stimulate somebody who is next to you. And then it says, the Bible said they became secure. They started trusting in the wrong things. Well, I've got a good job in my house, you know, and things are going well. Do I really need to get so excited and committed to God any longer? Thank God for a job, a spouse, a house, a health, and a bank account, but don't lean on that. Because we could have a pandemic. And everything changes. And if my job falls apart, I still have security because God said, you'll never see us begging bread. God will always take care of us, you see. They had no magistrate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Laish. Glory to God. No judge, but still coming to church, but no longer under leadership. No one will tell them what to do. Oh, I'll take this sermon under advisement. And there were some good points. We need to be under the canopy of safety and protection of leadership, you see. I've seen churches fail because they simply wouldn't get under leadership. Now listen, we all have had mothers. Mine's not alive anymore. But when mom asked me to do something, I did it because I love her so much. I wanted to be a faithful son. Now, the church is the mother. Do we love the mother? Are we willing to leave the mother because things got difficult? No. You have a tendency to draw closer. Some of you are taking care of your mothers, you know, in these latter years. You wouldn't have to, but because of the love, it's not because everything is going well, but because of the love, and when things don't go well in the church, it's time to stay with mom. You see. Then the Bible says that they had no business with any man. And that means they broke their fellowship. They had no friends in the church. I'm telling you, folks, we need to have friends in the church. Hallelujah. People who espouse the same doctrine that we do. Fellowship keeps us connected to the church and to our God. Laish was destroyed because they were too far from help. They lived on the edge when they should have gotten in the middle. Took a fight to get there. Wherever you are, it took a fight to get you where you are. So we need to get tangled up in the traffic at the altar. We really do. Because that is the safest place in the church. Tangled up in the altar, tangled up in the pews, tangled up in the aisles, tangled up in the atrium, tangled up in our lives with other people. Because that's where we are the safest. Not just at the edge, call somebody every once in a while to see how's the church doing? Someone called this week and said, well, how's everything going? I haven't been back in 4 months. Well, I don't know. I think it's time to trust on God. I think it's time to wait on God. I think it's time to be connected with God's people, because without that, without hearing the word of God, there is no faith. Faith comes by hearing. And the interaction, well, now at a distance, but there's still interaction between saints. I need to know what's going on in your life. I talked to someone tonight about them witnessing to friends. It encourages me because that's what we do. Okay, the sermon's over. You can stand now. I don't want to pay the $1,000. But I don't want to be at the side of the road someday and having a tow truck come and say, hey, the engine is kaput. Now you need to get another favorite car. Amen. Do the maintenance. It'll cost you something. But it'll keep you in the church. The altar's open. Would you come?